Seamus Kearney, hello and welcome.
Yes, good morning, Catherine.
I am trying to find a bit of paper that tells me what you'd like to talk about today, but you just start.
Yes, well, I was going to say there's no need for us over here to watch any television series of high suspense or intrigue, because we really do have it all with the Boris show, don't we? The never a dull moment, surprises galore. I have heard that there are people who are starting to have Brexit fatigue, even though it really is such a monumental story over here. But just a quick update from the EU perspective on this. We have the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson making this dash to meet the outgoing Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker in Luxembourg on Monday. That's tomorrow here. And this really a big shift, I would say, from this rhetoric that we saw early on in his premiership, this let them come to me rhetoric, when he said we wouldn't start the talks if we didn't have that Irish backstop taken out of the withdrawal agreement. And this meeting is going to come just before the 30-day deadline that he apparently struck. It's reported in these earlier talks with the German Chancellor trying to find a new deal. And in the UK this weekend, a lot of the commentators saying that this meeting in Luxembourg, chosen really seen as a better location than going to Brussels. They say that it might have been perceived that this is more of a desperate climb down by Johnson. Of course, comparisons made to Theresa May when she was seen making those last minute dashes to Brussels to try to save her doomed deal. And we also this weekend have EU officials once again absolutely coming out strongly on this, rejecting Johnson's latest remarks this weekend, yet again, to use his words, that huge progress is being made in talks between the UK and EU teams. Officials quoted as saying that discussions are being held, but there's just nothing concrete, nothing yet proposed on the UK side to replace that Irish backstop. And some saying that the real complexities of customs arrangements and controls, very technical issues, only now really starting to dawn on this UK negotiating team. And it's worth noting this team really much smaller than it was before under Theresa May. And of course, a lot of those experts in Brussels, a lot of those officials now saying that, you know, that kind of understanding, it's way too late in this process ahead of that October 31 Brexit deadline.
I just want to have a look at what's happening in Italy, because last time we were speaking, there was that controversy over forming the coalition government. I just want to check the status of that government now and also some of the early indications of where it's heading.
Yeah, this really is a big turnaround. This is the new coalition government that was sworn in on Tuesday. Really a big U-turn on this is on the tough stance against migrant rescue ships that we talked about, Catherine. And this after the ousting of the far right from the government. And that's what we spoke about. Officials this weekend actually gave the go ahead. They gave the green light for a French charity boat to dock on the Italian island of Lampedusa. 82 rescued migrants aboard that ship. And under the far-right Interior Minister Matteo Salvini in the previous government, there was a ban on these rescue boats docking in Italy. This caused outrage right around the world. Salvini no longer in that coalition after he resigned last month. He caused the collapse of the government. He, in fact, was hoping to trigger snap elections. And surprise, surprise, he miscalculated. We actually had a left-leaning coalition government put together instead, which actually pushed him aside. And critics of the stance that we had under Salvini really praising this weekend's developments. And it's been noted that Rome, in fact, in recent days, struck an accord with other EU states about distributing rescued migrants. So it means that those 82 migrants on board this vessel, the Ocean Viking, as I say, operated by two French charities, they will in fact be hosted, if you like, by other countries, including
Okay.
Germany, France, Portugal, and Luxembourg.
Quite a different take. Just very quickly, among the new EU commissioners, and I know there's been some controversy, but I'm really interested that the Irish politician Phil Hogan is the new EU trade commissioner. What could this mean over Brexit talks or post-Brexit talks?
Well, yes, I think, with all the headlines we've had, I think the UK really would have sat up and taken notice of this. As you say, this is the Irish politician, Phil Hogan. He's been chosen as the new EU Trade Commissioner. So this means he will be the man who's going to negotiate with London if, and we say if and when it comes to the UK and the EU getting together to work out some kind of trade agreement. And he's a very popular figure. We are going to have these interviews or these sessions in the EU Parliament in terms of ratifying the nominations for the EU Commission, but he's really seen as somebody who's a shoo-in. But it has to be said, Catherine, there's a lot of controversy about a lot of these nominations for the European Commission. It's emerged that quite a few of them are actually under investigation for corruption, among other things. So it's going to be controversial, but Phil Hogan does seem to be a shoo-in.
We'll pick up more on that next time. Thank you very much, Seamus Kearney in Europe.